not Eve. All right, here we go. Sorry about that, but redeemed.
Have a very serious message today to minister. God has stirred on my heart about life and death and how we have the choice to live or die. The choice is ours. Always has been, it always will be. You know, we can blame other people, we can blame circumstances, we can become victims of our past, but the truth is a way of escape has been made for all of us to inherit life. A way has been made for all of us to escape the chains of our bondage and to walk into eternal life. I see a country, I see a generation, I see a people that are forsaken the leading of God. There's a difference in saying you serve God and really surrendering to God. There's a huge difference. There are many people that say they believe in God, they serve God, they love God, but they don't live their life by that rule. They don't surrender their life to that. God is not any part of your decision making, any part of your family process, any part of your child raising, any part of your money giving, any part of your prayer life. For many people, being a Christian or believing in God is just something that, yeah, I believe in God. But we're not surrendering to His will for our lives. Because here's why many of us don't. We're in a Burger King generation. When the commercial first came out, does anybody remember what their slogan was when they first came out? Have it your way. You know, of course, anywhere now you pretty much can do that. But they kind of was that trendsetter. That they said, if you walked in and you didn't want the Whopper the way we dress it up, you tell us. Extra pickles, no onions, double mayonnaise, no ketchup, extra mustard, no bun. No meat, I don't care. You want a bun and a pickle, it's yours. $3.99. Have it your way. And we're in a generation now where we're just having it our way. We don't really want God in our life because it puts a cramp on our lifestyle. We don't really want to allow God to direct our steps because we truly know that our steps are wrong apart from God. We really know our life's not going to work outside of God's will, so we don't surrender fully. We kind of partly surrender. It's kind of like baptism. The Methodists believe in sprinkling. We believe in dipping. I mean, we dip till you start struggling to come up. We want to make sure you clean. My baptizer people, they have to start feeling the legs, kick them. Okay, they're going to bring them up. I mean, we submerge. We want the whole body. We don't want just a little dip. And so many Christians live their life with just a little bit of dip. A little bit of dip. I just want a little bit of Jesus. I want enough God not to go to hell, but not enough God to really walk in His blessing. I want enough God to avoid, you know, the fire, but I don't want enough God people to look at me and start talking about me. And we need to be bold in our generation, and we need to return back to our first love because God has set before us life and death. And I want to teach you today how to walk in the blessing of God. The blessing of God. I'm not talking about going out and driving a Cadillac and living in a mansion. I'm talking about walking in the blessing that God has for you. Blessing in our bodies, blessing in our finance, blessing in our mental health, blessing in our spiritual health, blessing with our... Are you tired of your rebellious children? Put them under the covering of God and begin to do what God's word says. Children are under the rule and authority of their parents. It's not the other way around. Your kid gets mad, boo-hoo. We have let a generation of kids become parents and tell their kids how they're going to live, what they're going to do, and how they're going to act. And we have sat back instead of doing what God's word says, that not to spare the rod. Now, I'm not talking about getting a baseball bat, unless it's required, and beating them over the head with it or a hind end with it. But sparing the rod means that we just don't correct their behavior. Pastor, it's hard. You don't know. I know. I'm raising 3 kids. I know how hard it is. But it's worth the fight. It's worth the fight, church. And God tells us how to raise our children. Train them up in the ways of the devil. And they shall not return. Oh, I said that wrong, didn't I? Train your child up in the ways of the Lord. And when they are mature, when they are older, it will not depart. Some of you are eyewitnesses to that very thing. You were raised in church. You got out of church. Now you're back in church. Why? The foundation your father and mother laid never left you. It never left you. You couldn't escape that foundation. That's a promise of God's word. And we have a generation not bringing their families or their children to church and letting them just stay home. I'm talking about small kids, 11, 12, 13. Oh, let them stay home. They don't want to come. Let them stay home from school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. No, oh, no, by God, you're going to school. But we think church is less important. That's the most important thing, is training them in God. We have marriages now that are based on just have it your way. I don't want to get married. I want to have the cow. I want to milk it all I can and not have no responsibility for it, because I'm scared of marriage. Because you just don't know how she is. Well, then quit living with her. She's that bad. I mean, really? Marriage is an institution of God. Marriage is honorable. Marriage is supposed to be. Now, I know you're quiet this morning. That's okay. Because I'm telling you, God has put before us life and death. You wonder why relationships are failing? They're not on the right foundation. We can't have it our way and have God's blessing on it. It just can't happen. We must be on God's foundation. Marriages are failing because we are not doing what God's Word says. God's Word says this to all of us, young people and older people. You old people ain't out of this loop. Abstain from all sexual immorality. I've talked to a few guys the last few weeks that have opened up to me and shared with me this. These are guys about my age. And they've opened up and they said the one thing, the one main thing they regret in their past, the one thing they really regret the most is all the sexual partners they had. They said, I so wish I would have waited I was married. I so regret all that past because it so defined the process of life I was going through. We have young people giving themselves away at 16, 15, 14, 17. That's ridiculous. The human brain is not fully developed until you're 25 years old. Do you know that? That's a scientific fact. The human brain is not completely fully developed until you're 25 years old. So if you're having sexual behavior, if you're on drugs at 15, 16, 17, do you know that drug use for someone 16, 17, 18, those early years, there's irreversible damage of any kind of drug. That's a scientific fact. Irreversible damage because your brain is not fully developed. And so you're killing off things. And we think we can do it our way. You know what? I'm going to do it my way. Don't anybody tell me what to do. Preacher, I'm my own man. Don't tell me what to do. I didn't come here for a sermon. Were you in the wrong place? I mean, that's what we're here for. To hear the Word of God. And so we have a generation following the drug path, the sex path, the hopping from partner to partner, doing their thing, the bar scene. Let me tell you something, ladies and guys. You're not going to find God's partner for you in a bar. Do you hear me? God don't work that way. You're not going to find your partner that God has for you at a bar. What's up? Can I buy you one? You hot. You'll go have sex? All right. This is God ordained. Hallelujah. Jesus, I'm about to feel the Holy Ghost up in here. It doesn't work that way. You're not going to find that partner. And people that do, it doesn't last. Why? The foundation is wrong. Guys, and no offense to any of you that do this, I'm just telling you like it is, and this is my own kids too. Guys and girls that hang out in bars all the time probably aren't walking the values of God, or they wouldn't be there. They wouldn't be there. Mm-mm. We must choose life and death. Why are relationships failing? Not on God's foundation. Why is our finances failing? Not on God's foundation. Why is our health failing? Not on God's foundation. We live everything for us. We are destroying ourselves with sensual pleasures. Whenever God says, obey me, follow me. Here's what young people don't understand. Maybe some of you older people don't understand this. This word of God is that we will be blessed. It's not to control us. It's not a vice that holds us down that we can't experience life. This book is for a blessing for us. Understand, it's a blessing for us. And the whole generation needs to understand, if I would just do it God's way. How hard is that to do it God's way? God's Word says everything we need to know of how to walk in His blessing, about our marriage, our family, how to be a father, how to be a mother, how to be a child of God, how to be a good worker, how to be faithful in everything you do. The Bible says that everything we do it as unto the Lord. So think about that. You're in a place you shouldn't be, with people you shouldn't be. Is that pleasing God? We're not going to find what we need outside of God's plan, not the fullness of what God wants us to walk in. He's gave it for us. Let's read some scriptures before y'all start throwing stones at me. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. It shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return to the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I commanded thee this day, thou and your children, with all your heart, with all your soul. That then the Lord thy God will turn your captivity, he'll have compassion on you, will return and gather you from all the nations, whether the Lord thy God has scattered thee. Now this is talking literally about Israel. That God's going to save Israel, restore Israel. It's God's nation. He's going to bring salvation. But I want to apply it to today, because we too are an Israel of this generation. We too were founded, don't care what nobody tells you, we were founded on freedom of religion and freedom of speech, and we were founded upon honoring God for our nation, believing in a supreme creator. That's very documented. And then we have, I mean, some of y'all remember when prayer was in school and all that, of course, been stripped away. We were a nation that had the value of God, and God blessed us and God prospered us. What caused those revolutionary soldiers to be able to defend all four or five times the mass army and be able to secure our shores? It was the hand of God, because we were supposed to be here. God ordained that. So we follow God. Then generation by generation, we kept allowing immorality, kept getting away from God's word, because we are worried about offending someone. We're worried about excluding someone. We're worried that we may make someone feel bad. And so we became weak and powerless and drifted away from the foundation of God's word, to where now, as I announced last week, CMPD chaplains can't even say Jesus in their prayers. These are chaplains. Not police officers. Chaplains. That, I mean, I guess they're police officers, but chaplains that are supposed to pray. I mean, really? And they can't say Jesus because it offends. And we've gotten completely away. What do you expect God to do? His hand of mercy is on our lives. But if we keep choosing death, if we keep running, if we keep rebelling, if we keep doing it our way, guess what? You go get it your way. Every seed sown that we sow, we have a choice about that. We choose to sow those seeds. They're not sown. We choose it. We choose to go in those bars on Saturday night. We choose to get in a sack of people we don't even have to know. We choose to move in because it's more convenient than to say, what does God say about our marriage? And I'm going to tell you something. I talk to a lot of people, and I tell them this, look, get married. Get the foundation right in God's eyes. When the foundation is wrong, the house won't stand. It never has, and it never will. Period. So he's talking to Israel, but I want to talk to us, because I see this. I see so many people that are just choosing their way instead of God's way. And I want you to walk in the blessing that God has for you. Some of us are battling such pride and arrogance that God can't use us. We don't even see it. And God can't, because we think it's us and not God. And we can't surrender and bow down and say, you know what, God, I need it to be you and not me. God, I'm willing to take what do what it takes to for you to operate in my life fully. But that means we must surrender, and we don't like surrendered, because it emits weakness. But when we're weak, he is strong. It is not weak to surrender to God. It's wisdom to surrender to God. I see a drifting away of the saints. I see a drifting away of God's people. I see a coldness growing among even God's people, to where they're not spending that time and fellowship with God they used to, and they're growing cold. They're growing distant. They're allowing things in their lives they never would allow 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. We never allowed it. And we have slowly boiled ourselves because we are not following the plan of God. God has a plan for us. Just like you tell your children things, they don't always listen, but if you're a good parent, you want to tell your children certain things as they become older. You go talk to them about sexual relationship. You go talk to them about drugs, and about smoking, about drinking, and about making right choices and right decisions. Why do you do that? Not to control them because you're a mean daddy or mommy, because you want them to walk in the blessing God has, and you realize this ain't gonna get them there. I've never seen anyone to go on that track that was blessed by God during that season. It's when they turn to God, when they surrender to God, when they do it God's way and not their way. That's when the blessing of God begins to come. And I want to see a generation's heart return back to the love of Jesus and choosing His way. Let's move on. Verse 5. Let's get to verse 5. The Lord thy God will bring you into the land which thy fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and you will do good and multiply above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thy enemies and on them that hate you and persecute you. And you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all His commandments which I command you this day. Now, verse 9 is the key verse. Look at this. And the Lord, talking about if we obey God, do what He says. Look at verse 9. The Lord thy God will make thee plenteous. That means abound or prosper in every work of thy hand, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your land for good. For the Lord again will rejoice again over thee for good as He rejoiced over thy fathers. So He's telling us, we choose to do it God's way, we're going to walk in blessing. We're going to walk in the blessing of God. We're going to have the peace we need, the joy we need, the power we need. Things in our life are going to work. They're going to click. The reason they don't click is we do it our way because our head gets in the way. We just don't do it. God's got the plan. Why? It's kind of like a person that works for a company. They think they can do it a different way than what the company says. You know, Big Mac sauce, been around for years, right? Sure, some kind of secret recipe. I don't know. Big Mac sauce. You got some 16-year-old kid with a cocky attitude. I can make it better. I'm going to throw a little bit of this in. Take a little bit of that out. I'm going to change the formula. It won't taste the same. Remember when they tried to bring out New Coke? Nasty. They got away from the original classic. And they went to that New Coke. Didn't taste nothing like the original Coke. Thinking they can make it better. Had a perfect formula, leave it alone. We try to take the formula God has for our lives and try to add to it and take away. Yeah, preacher, I know I'm supposed to be living. But, you know, God understands. You know, we've been together 7 years. It's okay. Not what God says. No, it ain't. I mean, it's not. God understands, you know, I'm young, I will go here. I'm not getting drunk every night, just every now and then. Just when mom gets on my nerves, I go, or dad, we justify that behavior. Instead of saying, no, God, I'm going to follow your plan for my life. I'm going to follow it. I'm going to do what your word says because that's going to bring me into what you have for me. See, people say, where are you, God? I hear this all the time. Where are you, God? God ain't nothing for me. Where's God? Where are you? Where are you at? Are you doing it God's way? Or are you doing it your way? If we keep doing it our way, we're not going to experience God's way. Because He's going to let us just choose our path. He's not going to come for it. No, Von Seal, no. Oh, man, don't do that. But what He does do is He speaks to Von Seal and He convicts her. He gives her guidance. And then she has to make a choice. Do I listen to the voice of God or the voice of my flesh? Do I do it Von Seal's way? Do I do it God's way? We think we can outsmart the system, and we can't. God's system is perfect. It's in place for our lives. And I want to see people's lives blessed. I want to see them walking in the blessing of God. And here we have the enemy with death every day staring us in the face, telling us to do this, do this, do this, do this. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. And so as long as we're on that road, we're on a road of death and destruction. Maybe not even for our soul, but definitely for our lives. You know, we're on our way to destruction. It doesn't make any sense that we destroy our temple with drugs, with alcohol, with all kinds of sex. People we don't even have to know. We're destroying our lives. We're taking the covenant that God has that's so sacred. So sacred. Relationship is the most intimate thing we have in human life. Human thing. That's why the Bible says when husband and wife come together, they become one. You're not one until you're married. You're not in God's eyes, you're not one. You might be one by the system, by the government. They have all that thing in place called you just live together so long, whatever that's called. But in God's eyes, I mean. When me and Melanie took vows before God, we became one flesh. The closest union that any two can enter is holy matrimony. Has nothing to do with anything outside of that. Until you're married, you're not one, you're two. And when you get married, you become one. Do you know the longer that a person abstains from sexual behavior, the longer they abstain, the better chance they are of waiting to the marriage? But when you got kids 13 and 14, now I just want to tell y'all, in case you don't know, it's happening now. 13, 14, middle school, it's already happening. These people, kids aren't even developed. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? We wonder what's wrong. We wonder why we're miserable and we're broken. We wonder why nothing's working out in our lives because we're not doing it God's way. But nobody wants to hear that anymore. Nobody wants that instruction. You know, nobody wants to hear the prophetic message anymore of return unto the Lord. Because we've gotten so satisfied with our life and doing it our way that we've almost forgotten there's another way that's better than our way. And we try to teach our children the right way, to do the right thing, to understand that God has a plan for you. And just trust that plan and stay in that plan. And don't get out of that plan, because when you get out of that plan, you can't receive what God has for you. Stay in the plan of God for your life and surrender completely to Him. Next verse. Verse 10, verse 11. If for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off, is it not in heaven that thou shalt sayest, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee. It's in your mouth, in your heart, that you mayest do it. See, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. We have a choice. God has set before us life and good or death and evil. We choose. I mean, there's no game here. There's no. It's very clear. We choose Jesus. We choose life. We reject Jesus. We choose death. Period. That's as clear cut as it can get. And we may think the path we're on right now today is okay, and we're not that bad, and we could be worse, and we could be over here, and we're not really in that bad of a place. But are you in God's place? Because that's the only place that's going to bring you what you truly need, is being in the plan of God for your life, surrendering. You know, surrender is hard to do. I remember as a kid, you know, we would wrestle around stuff, being a guy, and we'd wrestle around, and you had to say uncle or something. You know, if you got pinned, you say uncle, and you gave up. You know, you would do all you could not to say that, or, you know, you do all you can not to, you know, if you wrestle, you would tap three times. You don't ever want to surrender, because surrender means I lost. Surrender means I'm weak. And some of us are like this in our hearts. We're really like this. Mm-mm. God's word ain't for me. I know what I'm doing. I've got it under control. I'm good. I don't need it. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. Everything will work out. Everything will be fine. But it won't. It never will. You're just spinning a cycle of continual defeat. It'll never break free until you surrender to God, period, ever. It'll never break free. You can't do it on your own, church. There's nothing we can do on our own apart from the Spirit of God. There's no strength in me to go. How do we make right choices? By the Spirit of God, by letting Him actively work in our lives to help us, direct us to those right decisions. And here's what the Holy Spirit does. It's not just something we talk about, something that sounds good, or a good message, or in a bunch of songs, Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is for a purpose and a reason. It's to equip us and to strengthen us and to lead us to make right decisions for our lives, that we can walk in what God has for us. It helps us make those decisions. You know, growing up as a young person, I was a young person Christian. It was hard, very hard, because I didn't like being looked at different. I was looked at different and made fun of some. And I didn't like that. I wanted to be cool. You know, I was a regular kid. I had regular hormones, regular emotions. I want to dress like everybody else. And, I was cool. I had a Firebird, tinted windows, T-top. I had the bass going, boom, 15. I was cool. You know, I had it rolling. I had it going on. I was like everybody else. But here's the difference in me. I'd cruise uptown, my window down. That's back when we can cruise. And that was the greatest days ever. And we did no harm or no wrong. And the mall was alive then. When we left, it died. I'd put my Firebird, I'd be driving around, my window down, had my 12-inch woofer, my mid-range, and I that booming, you know, that bass, you know, and I'd be, hear the difference of me and a lot of guys, though. I was acting the part. I'd be cruising down. Girls be, you know, what's up? You know, you know how you do that stuff. You know, you holler out the window, you're at a traffic light, and you talk to each other. I remember I had a girl one time say, hey, I'll be back here. Meet back at Burger King in 15 minutes. All right. I was scared to death. I didn't go. You know why? Because I would have had it my way. And I didn't want that. I mean, I did, but I didn't. Because I knew that she wanted all the toppings. I knew. So I said, I can't go back. So here's the difference in me and a lot of guys. There was always something to stop me. You know, I would go so far and try to blend in and, you know, have a good time, have fun. But when it came down to really came down to it, you know, hey, are we doing it or not? I got a phone. Oh, no, you have cell phones in. I remember what I did. But anyway, I bolted like a piece of lightning out of the sky because I knew it was a mistake. I'm not saying I didn't. I made a lot of mistakes, and I did things I regret. But I thank God that there were times that I would feel His Holy Spirit convict me, and it would pull me back just in time. And I think, man, God, thank you. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. You can, as a young person, live a Christian life and not go down the road of drugs and sexual immorality. You can do it. I am a proven testament that you can do that. You don't have to go down it because everybody else is. You can make a choice not to do it. I was at a bus stop with a guy that smoked pot while the bus was coming. Right beside him, hey, man, you want something? You crazy? You stupid enough? I don't want that. Bus pull up, he throw it down. I had opportunity. I didn't need it, man. I was high on life. I love life too much. I enjoyed living. I would go to school, and Melanie, some of you that went to school with me, Tiffany here, but I would sing to girls at school. I'd jump up on the tables and start singing love songs. I did. And I didn't have a pill in me or a drug in me or nothing in me. I was just high on life. I had a nickname in high school. Like, girls call me Ankles because I have pretty ankles. Because, you know, back then you wore the deck shoes, no socks, and you had your ankles showed all the time. They call me Ankles. In my album, several girls call me Ankles. They address me as Ankles. That was before all we have now going on, so. But, yep. And I was Rob Lowe. One of my teachers called me Rob Lowe when I was in 10th grade. She actually addressed my annual Rob Lowe because that's back when he was big, and I know he wasn't the best role model. But that's when he was really popular and hot, and all the girls liked Rob Lowe, you know, back in the 80s. And so I started calling myself Rob Lowe in her class. And I would raise my hand for a question. She said, yes, Rob. She started calling me Rob Lowe. You can have a lot of fun and stay clean, but you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. You've got to choose. God, I want to stay on your path. This is not working for me. So many opportunities. And even now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm 41 years old now, so I've hit a point in my life that I'm kind of looking back, seeing what I've done, and looking at the future of where I yet got to go. And I'm going to tell you something. For our generation, when you hit 40, 45, 50, in that generation, temptation is still there. And there's a lot of variables that can still attack your life. And there's a lot of peer pressure. I mean, look. Everywhere I go. Oh, my ring's still broke. I got to get that fixed. Everywhere I go. Ring. Temptation's everywhere. It don't stop. So you still have to make right choices. I mean, believe me, because I'm a preacher, devil don't leave me alone. Mm-mm. He's hard on my back all the time. And I need the Holy Spirit as much now or more than ever than I did those years in my high school years to keep me on the right path, making right decisions for God. Keep me in His plan. People ask me, Mel, all the time. I've been married 20 years. We got married young. She was 18, I was 20. We got married 20 years. But here, me and Mel's foundation was right from the beginning. The foundation was right. We got married first. Then we had kids. We got married first, then we lived together. We started our home following the Lord, being in church, serving God, dedicating our children, raising them in God. Even if I wasn't a pastor, our children would be in church every week. We'd be raising our kids in church. The foundation, when it's right, God blesses. Now, you're sitting there saying, well, man, I done messed up. My foundation's done messed up. I can't, the pieces are gone. So what do? You start a new foundation. We had a patio we had to tear up a couple years ago. It was sagging way down. Water got into it, and it was sagging. When you stepped out of the back door, you know, you about broke your leg because it went down like 4 feet. You know, so we had to get it raised, re-poured and raised up. You know what? That foundation's strong with the first one. We just had to re-pour it and redo it. So if you're at a point today, your foundation is messed up, and you know it's messed up. You're not where you're supposed to be with God. You're so out of God's plan. You're so jacked up. You're all over the map. What do? You start a new foundation today. And say, God, I'm going to start a new foundation. You know, I've actually had couples. I've talked to ministers that's talked to couples that were living together before they were married. And he would encourage them. I know it's hard to do that. You can't make anybody do that. But he encouraged them, from now to your wedding date, move back out. Stay apart to your marriage day and then come back together. And I had a minister tell me a couple did that, and they came back and told the minister, you don't believe what that did to our relationship. By being apart, living separately, and then coming together at our marriage day, how impactful that was in our relationship. It's impactful. God knows what he's doing. We may not think he does, but he knows what he's doing. So you lay a new foundation. You say, okay, God, I've been walking in death. I'm choosing all the wrong paths. I'm doing all the wrong things, but I want to start fresh. I want to start new. What do? You start today. How do I start? You surrender to God. Here's my life, Lord. I've not done it your way. I've done it my way. And I'm tired of it. My way is not working. It never will work. It never will accomplish what you want. Broken homes, broken hearts, broken lives, broken minds. It all will be failed if you are not in God's plan. I'm not saying, because I know some of you are thinking this. All right, well, I'm get saved, follow God. Life ain't perfect. I don't have a lot of problems. Absolutely you will. But you're in God's plan. And God's going to keep you and protect you and bless you and watch over you during those times. You have his hand upon you, upholding you. Life's not perfect with the Lord as far as in this earth. We have temptation. We have battles. We have marriages. We have kids. We have bills. I mean, we have stress. You know, our lives are full of stress. It doesn't mean it's a perfect world, but it means that your life begins to walk in the blessing God has for you. We can't be blessed by God doing it our way. Just like my children. I can't bless my children for being involved in things. You know, if Christian come home and says, Dad, you know, I'm moving in with this guy, I'm going to love her. I'm going to support her as far as my daughter. But I'll look at her and say, I bless that. Because I don't. No way. I don't care how much she boo-hoos, how much she justifies it, how much I like the guy. Of course, I don't like the guy if he's living with my girl. I'm going to say, put a ring on her finger to get the heck out of the house. But I can't bless it. I can't say, oh, okay, Christian, I bless that. I bless that. You got my blessing. She won't have my blessing. She'll have my blessing as her father-daughter relationship. I love you. I'm always going to be there for you. But I can't bless what you're doing. I can't bless it. You know? And so I think we've gotten away from that as parents of just endorsing and enabling our children and just accepting and letting go. Instead of stepping in and saying, I can't honor that life. I can't bless it. I will tell you something. It'll mean more to your child than you realize when you tell them you don't bless their situation. Don't take that light. It'll mean a lot to them when you say, I can't bless that. You know, back in the old days, I don't think it's done much no more. I wish I'd have done it. I didn't. I don't know why I didn't. But back in the old days, you know, a guy would go to the father of the bride and ask for the hand in marriage. It didn't happen a lot now like that. But they would go and say, hey, I want to ask your permission for your daughter's hand. You know what that was? It was an act of submission, of wanting the blessing of the Father. We live our lives with no initiative, I don't think, for the blessing of God anymore. We just want it our way and do it our way without the blessing of God. I just want to say this. You go out of here and keep living your life for you and you only. You will not inherit and walk what God has for you. It'll be a continual struggle. But when you surrender and you submit and you say, God, today it's you, it's not me. I'm getting out of the way. I just want to follow your lead. You'll begin to see your life be blessed, your home be restored, your children will calm down. There'll be peace in your home. Start speaking the word over your family. Start speaking the word over your children. Start speaking the word over your finance. Start speaking the word over your health. You know, God wants, I don't know about y'all. I know a lot of people are weak on this. But God can still heal the sick. You heard about my aunt that was miraculously healed. I talked to somebody this week that they had a person in their family that was miraculously healed. God still heals. And this is not to say anything negative. Please hear me clearly. I just want to make a point for thought, to provoke some thought this morning. We have put so much faith in medication and so little. Just, I don't get the process. I know the people that need it. I'm not talking about people that need it to live. I'm just saying, think about this. Remember the Andy Griffith episode, by the way. Andy Griffith, of course, is going on, and he'll be very missed by me. I'll still use his stories many times, so don't worry. He'll still be alive in this church. But you remember Emma? They had that new pharmacy, Nellie, or whatever, Ellie. And she wouldn't give her pills, but she had a prescription. And she was whining on the couch, "Oh, I'm dying. I need my medication. They won't give my pills, Andy." So Andy goes, talks to her and all this. And then Nellie comes up later, you know. Of course, all it is sugar pills. Has no effective power. But in the episode, if you remember, as soon as she pops her pills, I already feel better. And there was no power in it. It's a sugar pill. That's some of us, isn't it? Oh, God, I'm down. My last pill. Oh, God, what do I do? What if we had that same kind of faith in the God that parted the Red Sea? My Lord! The gospel is the greatest peel ever! And we have become so dependent, not just in that, but in all things of our life. Financially, but I don't know what I'm going to do. Take it to God. God says that I will, it's my good pleasure to prosper you, spirit, soul, body, to prosper you, to bless you. We need to trust the Lord that He will supply our needs, the Bible says. He will supply our needs. Your employer is not your provider. Your God Almighty is your provider. It's from His hands all blessings flow. It's from His hands all healing flows. It's from His hands all salvation flows. It's from His hand all deliverance flows. Period. No other source but God. You got death, you got life. You choose. The choice is yours. I pray you choose life. And choose Jesus. Because you're going to be running all of your days. And I'm going to tell you this. This is for somebody here today. You can run all you want. But God has called you. And you are only avoiding the inevitable of surrenderance. Here's the deal for you. What path are you going to blaze and destruction are you going to cause before you finally surrender? Because you will surrender. So why not choose it now and avoid all the calamity that follows the path of doing it your way? Bow your head to me, please, if you would. Lord, your word is clear that you have presented us life and death. We choose. I pray for this body of people, Lord. I pray for hearts to be open, for spirits to be stirred. I pray for offense not to take place. Let no one leave offended, God, but let them leave receiving what has been said today. This was not me, Lord. This is your word that was being preached. This is your word. You have a plan. You have a foundation. You have a way of life. We don't like to hear it. We don't like to hear a message like this. It's not a feel-good message. It's not a message that makes us shout and jump and it's not a message we leave feeling giddy about, but God is a message that hopefully invokes something deep within us to remind us that we can't keep doing it our way and be blessed by your hand. We must surrender to you. I pray, God, hearts today will surrender. Hearts will surrender and lay a new foundation that will say, God, I've messed up for many years, but I want to change that right now. I want to start right now with a fresh foundation. Today's a brand new day. Today's a day I'm going to give it up to you, God, and follow your way. I pray for hearts to turn to you, for minds to turn to you, for people to receive and believe in you. I pray for peace in homes, God, for blessings upon families as they begin to turn their hearts and their life to you. I pray for presence to become real, your holy presence again to become alive in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your precious Spirit, your precious Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Let us always follow that voice. It will lead us to where you want us to go. We'll give you honor and we'll give you all praise, Lord. Work in the lives of the hearers today and let them leave different. Let their hearts be tilled and stirred to receive something fresh and new as they turn to you. We give you thanks in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. I want to say this as a disclosure, as a footnote. Understand this. This was not a message of judgment from your pastor whatsoever. And if you received it,